Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
No, thank you. Perhaps some other time. Nah, not doing it. No, I don't think so. Ask me next week. Those are some ways people refuse something. But what does it look like to refuse to refuse? Remarkably, this little phrase has been behind many world-changing events. It's made heroes out of ordinary people. That means you and I can be heroes of a kind. Interestingly, refusing to refuse provides constructive action that makes significant differences in your life. Often, it's your best choice. So let's look at refuse to refuse. First, let's look at the word refuse and what it means. To not say, think, or do something. To decline to accept an offer. In some cases, to not budge on an issue. Determination to not give in to unhealthy habits or patterns. To not cooperate in some endeavor. Refuse can be positive and healthy. However, it can also be negative and unhealthy, depending on how you use your power to refuse. So, the idea of refuse to refuse, it sounds odd to say. Nevertheless, there are times you should refuse to refuse. Here are some examples. Refuse to refuse an offer of something helpful, good, or constructive. Or perhaps a gift of food, clothing, medicine, and perhaps even money you didn't expect. You may really need this gift. Conversely, you may not need it, but it may be rude to say no to the giver. To refuse something better, a plan, pattern, diet, friendship, job, not letting anything get in the way of good that's tucked into a new opportunity. In other words, resist any barrier or temptation that would interfere. And then another example, refuse to refuse a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with God. Listen willingly to His directives. Eagerly spend time with Him each day. And further, sidestep temptation to push back whatever God wants to do in your life. You know, when you connect with God with this kind of resolve, the doors of His blessing and goodness open. It's a special relational response to Him. Additionally, it's just not wise to say no to God, especially considering He wants you to be effective in healthy and godly living. Plus, He wants to shower you with His love. So train how to refuse God. This is our main focus today. Now I want to tell you an incredible, true story. The enemy continually leverages scenarios against you as he rebels against God. Essentially, he wants to prove God is wrong about you in the same way he attempted to with Job. Here is the scenario. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. That's from Job chapter 1, verse 6. Sneaky. How did the enemy think he could just walk into God's presence with God's holy angels? Well, here's the conversation. First, God says, "From where have you come from?" That's verse 7. Maybe today it would sound more like, "Who let you in here?" Then Satan replies, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Yeah, I'll bet, to see how much sorrow and trouble you can cause. Well, God responds with, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." That's verse 8. God just had to verbalize deserved bragging points about his man, Job. This guy was blameless and upright. He feared God, shunned evil, the greatest man in those days. That's from Job chapter 1, verses 1 and 3. Well, Satan replies, "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You've blessed the work of his hands, so his flocks and herds spread throughout the land. But now, stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." This interaction proves it's all about God's enemy versus God. Shamefully, the enemy has the audacity to directly spar with God, the confrontation of evil against good. Unfortunately, Job is in the middle. But it's not over. God says, "Very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger." That's from verse 12. God always has the upper hand. Equally, he has full authority to grant, deny, or rescind anything. Still, the enemy has the audacity to try and prove God wrong. Well, here's the conclusion of the conversation. "Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." Falsely, he probably thinks, "Game on." All right, now we're going to talk about some gain that is for you. Remarkably, God knows ahead this will be a loss for the enemy and a win for Job and himself. Even more incredible, he allows Job to be the hero, proving God is exactly who he claims. Even in Job's weakness, having more questions than answers, God shows Job's pure heart. Job refuses to refuse God. Nevertheless, he suffers terribly in the conflict between God and the enemy. It's war. However, even with a broken heart and body, Job maintains faith in God. Actually, he's so sure of God's goodness, he says something crazy. "Even if he slays me, I will hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face." Job 13, verse 15. He also says, "To God belong wisdom and power. Counsel and understanding are his." Job 12, verse 13. Incredibly, he doesn't understand anything that's going on. Yet he proves you don't need to understand to be a person of enduring faith in God. Remarkably, from Job 1, verse 22, "In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing." You know the end of the story. Frankly, it gets even worse for Job. In fact, his wife finally says, "Just curse God and die." Job 2, verse 9. Yet Job refuses to refuse whatever God is doing. In the end, Job gains more than he started with, plus a godly reputation. Jesus helps you refuse to refuse. And he does this because he loves you. And subsequently, let's explore things that he's already done to empower you. The first thing is your debt is paid. Jesus paid the debt against your life, the shedding of his blood, the gifting of his life. It's all done. And his work puts you in a good place. Accounts settled. debts paid, sins forgiven. You are free and you have hope. Once the debt has been paid, the penalty carried out, and the record set straight, many other good things can start to happen. Regardless, this may be terribly confusing and painful while you're in the middle of the suffering. Yet, just think and be amazed. How much more is God able to accomplish through your situations, just like he did for Job? All right. That was the first thing we wanted to look at, where Jesus helps you to refuse to refuse. The debt is already paid. He's already taken care of that. Now, another point is he invites you. Jesus invites you to be part of the action. The only thing that might limit God's work in you and others through your life is if you refuse. Rather, why not accept his amazing friendship? Grab on to his help. Believe his love for you. Know he will keep his promises. And be confident he has no limits and will redeem your losses. You were intended to partner with God in every detail, loss, suffering, and experience of your life each day. This partnership transforms you. Jesus invites you to engage his help to do a number of things. First of all, to change all your default responses to match Christ's. Also, to rework life patterns that need it. And then finally, to establish habits of godliness to replace unhelpful and unhealthy patterns. Then, as you advance in your discipleship with Christ by faith, and regularly practice his ways, he invites you to spread his hope to others. Just like the story of Job spreads a certain kind of hope to everyone who knows that story. Alrighty, God changes lives, and he does that through Jesus' life and cross for those who refuse to refuse him. He is Father, Trainer, Dearest Companion. Plus, he proves the enemy wrong about you. This is an amazing honor. The living God offers his resources as a father, coach, and companion through Jesus. Will you accept or will you refuse? Why not refuse to refuse? Actually, it's a strong way of accepting. All right, here's what we got to do. What happens next can be breathtaking, even life-changing, and it's rather simple. Nevertheless, it takes resolve. Your next move is to do the following list of things. First of all, decide Jesus is Lord in your life. Then let him guide you. After that, accept his agenda over yours. Then listen to his quiet voice. Okay, and then practice his teachings. They affect how you think, speak, and act. Another really important one is to surrender. And then Jesus Christ will transform you as you surrender. Next, rest in his grace. And finally, enjoy his presence. He is such a faithful friend. So again, those action steps are to decide, let him, accept, listen, practice, surrender, rest, and enjoy. Now let's put a little meat to those single words. Decide Jesus is Lord in your life. Let him guide you. Accept his agenda over yours. Listen to his quiet voice. Practice his teachings. Surrender. All you need is that one word. Rest in his grace and enjoy his presence. Such a faithful friend. There is so much under your control. All those action words you can do. Equally, recognize God's lordship. It is an honor to serve a king who has your best in mind and is filled with grace, kindness, and truth. Here are some application thoughts and questions. Number one, do you want to partner with God? Number two, will you yield and train? Three, when is the last time you enjoyed God's friendship? Four, what perspective needs to change in you to agree with God? Five, do you regularly refuse God? Six, how will you practice care for others who need help and hope? And number seven, why not respond to God like Job did? Maintain your integrity and faith, even in suffering and loss. In other words, let God prove the enemy wrong about you and about him. Portions of this content came from our book, It's Your Move. It's a devotional book that powerfully challenges you to live with perspective and purpose. I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app or use our online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.